We're going to attempt to continue talking about unshakable faith. If we got something there you can turn on for me, what do I got to do? Press something here? Okay. We're dealing with a thing called unshakable faith. We've been dealing with this for 4 or 5 weeks now. And it starts off on a foundation that if we can have our faith, if we can have our belief system firmly based upon Jesus Christ, who is our bedrock, no matter what the storms of life that come, we will not be blown away. We will not be lost, so to speak. Hallelujah. We've been looking over and over again, and my bottom line today is the same thing's been for the last 2 weeks, and it will probably be the same thing next week. My bottom line for this message is God is everything you will ever need. Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor. For me to say it's one thing, but I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to make that declaration that say, God is all you will ever need. God is all you will ever need. Now, in case you missed somebody or you're just plain weren't paying attention, hallelujah, turn to someone else and tell them the same thing. Only this time I want you to say, God is everything I will ever need. Go ahead, turn and tell somebody. I challenge you. I will ever need. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there's no doubt. There's no doubt in the days we live in, faith is very important. But you know, the faith that I'm interested in is a faith that will hold up under pressure. Yeah, I've made this statement before, and every time I do, people just take buckles in their eyes. And I said this in jail one time. I was visiting. clarify that statement real quick. I was visiting in prison one time, and there's a lot of religion. I won't talk much about that, but there's a lot of religion spirits in the prisons. And people believe this and believe that. And I remember having all these Pentecostal brethren, whole great big room full of people. The guards were there, and I think some people from the black Muslim kind of snuck in. But I just couldn't help myself. Sometimes things happen, I just can't seem to help myself. And I made an announcement. I says, you know, all this jumping shouting. I said, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me what God you believe in. And I got to tell you, I feared for my life for a brief second. When I brought the rest of us, I said, it doesn't matter what God you serve until you need Him. Now, I understand we must follow after Jesus. I understand He's the only true God. But I also understand that you can fake it in your religion when you don't have any problems. When everything's going fine, it doesn't matter what church you go to. Doesn't matter what God you subscribe to. Doesn't matter what your, here's one for you, belief system is. Hallelujah. It really doesn't matter. But when life takes a turn, when the phone call comes, when there's something wrong, when the kids are acting up, when the bank calls and says you're out of money, when all this stuff is going wrong, then it gets kind of important who it is you've been praying to. Can someone say amen? Or, oh my, that's up to you. Hallelujah. I'm really convinced that we need to have an unshakable faith, or as we term this whole series, is we need to learn how to stand strong when things go wrong. Faith on the mountaintop is easy. When everything's going good, you got a fistful of money, the car's running good, kids aren't fighting. Well, that happens once in a while. When all stuff is going good, hallelujah, praise God, Jesus is good. But you know, when all that stuff begins to turn around, the car won't start, the money's gone, and all the... Never mind about the kids. When all that stuff's happening, it's a little hard to go, bless God. Usually we begin to change, oh God. A little bit like when I lived down south, there was bless God, and then there was, oh God, and there was, oh help me, Lord. The faith level started going down, became almost a begging faith. Oh my God. Hallelujah. We need to have a faith in Jesus, a faith in God that will stand up under the pressures of the life we're living in. Right? Amen? Hang on 1 second. My friend, the cold has tried to return. There we go. Glory unto God. We went on to talk about having to build upon the bedrock of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is our foundation. We're about soon to celebrate Easter. And on that day is the day that we set aside that Jesus Christ threw away the death and the grave and walked free. But it's that power, it's that very act of resurrection that we can build our faith upon. Because if death couldn't hold back Jesus, my mortgage sure won't. Hallelujah. If the grave couldn't keep Jesus closed in, then my problems on the job aren't going to destroy me either. See, we need to understand that when Jesus walked free from that tomb, everything in the world changed, including our situation. We went on from there, and we began to talk about using our faith in certain times, and we talked about having faith in the face of failure. No, there are times, and I'm sorry to be the one to tell you this, but there are times when you just might not get it right. Now, if that hasn't happened to you yet and you've been perfect up to now, then God love you. Hallelujah. All those who are not perfect or have not been perfect and done everything right in all their lives, listen to me for a second. Because those who think they've got it all right, they got a different problem. We need to maintain faith when we fail. When we do something and it goes wrong. What happens when God don't come through the way we told Him He's supposed to? The way we think He's supposed to. Hallelujah. We want to point at God and say, God didn't do this. God wasn't supposed to do that. I can tell you one thing, after 33 years of serving God, He don't take orders well. Amen? God knows that about me too. So we need to, when things go wrong or we think things are going wrong, we need to continue doing what Jesus told us. We looked in John 21 and it showed us how Peter and the disciples, after the crucifixion, they went fishing. They went back to the old ways. Now, I want to challenge you here today. When things seem to be going bad, don't go back to your old ways. However it is you fixed your problems before you came to Jesus, do not, please do not, go back to the same thing. If you used to smoke dope and things go wrong when you're following Jesus, it is not a sign from heaven to go back to cannabis. If you were a drunk, if you whatever it is you were, if things go wrong, it is not a sign from God to go back and do what you used to do. Matter of fact, it's called the dog going back to his own vomit. You can think about that for a moment. Beautiful picture right there. Hallelujah. What I tried to teach, and I think what we learned is important, we need to stay plugged in when things are going bad. We need to stay plugged into God and God's people when it appears that our dreams and our plans are beginning to fail. Don't unplug from the source. Does that make any sense at all? How many knows, in spite of the price of gasoline, you still got to put it in your car? When that little thing on your dash goes E, it does not mean enough. It means you better stop someplace. If you don't, you know what? You can say, I'm not going to pay those prices. I'm not going to pay those prices. Okay, I'll wave as I go by when you're broke down on the road. You've got to keep going. And in order to keep going, you got to stay plugged into the power. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah to God. One of the first things, did you ever get you buy something in the store, electronics, and they give you a little book of instructions. One of the first things says, if it doesn't work, see if it's plugged in. Well, you know, that's... See, y'all laughing. I know people who would tear the thing apart and try to fix it and say, oh, didn't plug it in. That would be me doing the fixing, my wife doing the plugging in. Hallelujah. We need to keep plugged in, even if we seem to be failing. Second thing we looked at is we need to maintain our faith when we're facing death. Now, this week in particular, here in the church is extremely relevant. We're facing death. We learned from 1 Thessalonians 4:13, this is our review, we learned that we're not like other people. See, people say, well, that's pride, that's arrogance, that's truth. 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, you're not like other people. He says, other people have no hope. But you have hope. We need, when someone dies, we need, when we face death, we need to have faith that God will treat us differently. Because we are different. Because we are children of the Most High God. Amen? We need to grieve our loss, but we should never be hopeless in our loss. Because Christ, our Savior, is also our Resurrector. Amen? Now we turn, 2 weeks ago, and we're still in this subject, of facing illness with faith. What do you do, hallelujah, when you get sick? Now, let me just say here, I know without a shadow of a doubt that God, Jesus, is our healer. I believe that people here today, whether you were standing or falling or kneeling, I believe that people got healed today. But I also know that there sometimes can be a space of time between getting your healing and it manifesting. Amen. What do we do in the meantime? Do we down talk God? Do we blame Him? Or do we maintain our faith that God knows what He's doing? Hallelujah. we have been using in this series a testimony from a pastor down in Florida. This pastor had 7 major strokes in one day. You could call that a bad day. Every one of these strokes had the potential of killing him, and put together they almost did. Amen? That's what you would call a bad day. But he showed us, through his testimony, a few things he learned about the God that he serves. How many realize that sometimes you don't learn as much about God until you get in trouble? Until you have a problem. When you have a problem, then you begin to look and say, well, God really does this and not what I thought he did. We learn some things about God. One of the things he learned was found in the book of Judges. And it's a story, Exodus chapter 3. It was a story of Moses. Bible says that Moses ran out of town, so to speak. He was run out of Egypt, and he's hiding in the desert taking care of his Jethro's sheep. And he looks up and he sees a burning bush. And it wasn't a political time of year, so he knew it wasn't a George or a Jeb. So He just got, or the other guys. But he realized it was an actual, honest-to-God bush, and it was burning, but it wasn't burning up. And he said to himself, self, I'm going to go see what this is all about. And when he got there, the bush, which was God in the bush, spoke to him and said, I want you to go back to Egypt and set my people free. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go free. Now I got to tell you, if I was Moses, I would have asked more questions. But he asked important ones. And the most important question he asks is, if I go and tell the people your God wants you to leave, who should I say you are? What's your name? Hallelujah. And you need to understand something about God and the Hebrew language. God, I think, probably would have had a hard time answering this fully in this one sentence. If he tried to answer it, I am this and I am this, I am this, I think the book of Exodus would have been a whole lot bigger. But he used a word that we know to be either Jehovah or Yahweh. And the word translates, I am that I am. A looser translation is, I am everything you'll ever need. So instead of saying all the different things, is it whatever they say, tell them, I'm all you're ever going to need. I've got it under control. So when this preacher stands up there, or any preacher says God's got it under control, he's taking it right from the Word of God. He told Moses that I have got this whole thing under control. It's really okay. Hallelujah. We learn to how to use our faith in these different situations by looking at the compound names of God. Jehovah is I am. But if you look through the Hebrew Old Testament, you'll see Jehovah in a different word added to it. It means something, okay? We learned that when we're afraid, we can trust God to calm us down. There is a wonderful word in Hebrew that most of us don't understand. It's called shalom. The word here that's found in the 23rd Psalm. Where am I? I got ahead of myself. I'm sorry. I'm talking about Gideon now. Chapter 6 of the book of Judges. Gideon was a coward. But God came to him and called him a man of valor. And he was declared to be Jehovah Shalom. We said that peace does not mean the absence of conflict. It means the absence of anxiety in the middle of conflict. So we found out from the name here that when things are going wrong, it could be a sickness, it could be some other catastrophe, we can look at God as Jehovah Shalom, the God who brings us peace. You may have heard it preached before. I use this scripture all the time. There is a peace that surpasses human understanding. That is Jehovah Shalom. When God shows up and shows himself to be the God of peace, everything else really doesn't matter. We also went on to say that we learned that when we're confused, we can get guidance from God. That's the 23rd Psalm. When David wrote the 23rd Psalm, and he said, the Lord is my shepherd, he was saying he's Jehovah Raha, or Ra, however you pronounce it. There's two ways, so I make two syllables out of it. He's Jehovah Raha. Jehovah is the one who leads us, shepherds us. Do you understand a shepherd also protected the sheep? That he led guidance to the sheep, but that big old stick he carried. Y'all seen the Christmas cards, right? Y'all seen the shepherds and the Christmas cards. That big old thing was more just some prop for a child to use during Christmas play. That big stick was used to fight off the wolves. You talk about martial arts. I see these guys on TV, the martial arts with the sticks. They need to put them up against a shepherd. I'm telling you, if a wolf can't whoop a shepherd, anyway. The shepherd, God is our shepherd. He said, I'm the one who will not only protect you, I'll guide you. Hallelujah. While we're sick, and this is where we were a couple of weeks ago, we need to learn to trust God to heal us. Now, let me explain something about healing again. I believe in healing. I believe wholeheartedly that God is the Lord God who heals. As a matter of fact, in Exodus 15:26, He's declared to be the Lord God who heals you. He's declared to be Jehovah Rapha. That means I heal you. Now, let me say something about healing. Some people say, well, I prayed and the person died. I came across two terminologies which I've embraced and I love them. One came from a man who actually wrote this testimony I'm using. He says, God healed me temporarily. I'd never heard of a temporary healing before. And he went on to explain, he says, that means I'm going to get sick and die someday. He said, but I have a friend I prayed for who died. He said, he was healed permanently. See, sometimes we get things mixed up in our mind and say, if God didn't do the way we think he should, well, he must not have done it. See, if you get healed here, and I pray you get healed, and we believe you're going to get healed, chances are you'll get sick again. Chances are someday you're going to face death, and you know, so you're temporarily healed. When we pray and ask God to heal us, we need to accept the healing that God gives us. Can someone say amen? I had a friend. He's gone now. An associate, a friend, once a close friend, by the name of Bert Clendenin. And Bert Clendenin had a big old church down in Beaumont, Texas. And he tells a story of one night he was having a healing line like we had here this morning. And it was a long healing line. He looked up, and here stands a guy with a check. No, just standing. I'm sorry. And just as he went to lay hands on him, God said, don't pray for that one. So I want to talk to him first. Okay. And he looked at the man and says, God wants you to go over there, and he wants to talk to you. Well, he went away, and he's still praying for people. God, you understand, it's a church of 700 or 800 people. And a while later, here stands the man. This time he's holding a check in his hand. And he said, why are you back? What did God tell you? He said, God told me he couldn't heal me because I was just too cheap to go to a dentist. But if I would donate to this church, the amount of money it would take to fix my teeth, he'll heal me. Well, that sounds almost like a setup. But the preacher took the money, put it in the plate, laid hands on him, and God instantly healed every tooth in the man's mouth. You see, some things will hold us back from getting healed. Some things will keep us from God's hand moving upon our lives. Hallelujah. It could be sin. It's not always, by the way. I want to be very clear about that. It can be a lifestyle. There can be a lot of reasons that God can't heal us or chooses to heal us in a different way. Hallelujah. Last week, we spent a painful amount of time talking about the need to trust God to take care of you. We talked about this man's testimony that while he was yet in the hospital bills started to add up. By the time he got home, he had about $1 million worth of hospital bills. And because he believed God, because he kept doing the things of God, God paid all of that man's hospital bills. And he went on to share his testimony. I preached on it. That if we would learn how to obey God in everything, including our finances, chances are, real good chances are, God would take care of our finances. We ask God to take care of us and help us pay our bills, but we don't obey him in the smallest things. Now you say, well, 10% is a big deal. Well, maybe. But having 100% and not having the power of God is a bigger deal. Amen? So people say, well, please don't talk about that. Okay, I won't. But you can read Genesis chapter 22, verses 10 through 14, how that Abraham, I'm not going to talk about money, but Abraham, we all like to sing the song about Abraham had many sons. We all love Father Abraham. Father Abraham had a hard word from God. Said, Abraham, bring your boy and come up to Mount Moriah. We're going to have church. But you see, having church in those days is a little tougher on the kids and the people. He had to travel 3 days just to get there. Sometimes we won't drive for 30 minutes. Anyway, I couldn't help. I had to throw that out. Hallelujah. Abraham traveled for three and a half days just to go to church. Now, he's going up the mountain. I got to preach you just for a second. He's going up the mountain. Now, you understand, Isaac, I always got to do that, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Isaac was not a little boy. Isaac was a teenager. He was a young man, okay? And he was not dumb, Brother Bill. He looked at Dad and said, Dad, I see the fire. I see the knife. I don't see the sacrifice. Now, I don't know exactly what Isaac was thinking, but he was wondering, Brother Bob. Hallelujah. See, some folks would have church without a sacrifice. It didn't really matter. They would just have the form. But Abraham looks at him and says, don't worry, God will provide. Hallelujah. Now, at this point, when he said that, Abraham is tied to the sticks. The fire's getting ready to consume the stick. He's getting ready to plunge the knife in. And as he gets ready to plunge the knife in, the angel says, stop. Now, I don't know who was more happy about that, Abraham or Isaac, but they were really glad to hear the voice of God. And he looked up, and just as he had declared, God had put a ram in the thicket. And he took that ram. All you ever need is in God Almighty. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to challenge everyone here to go home and look up www.theabundantlifefellowship.com and listen to those messages. So what I want to deal with today is when you're facing illness and death, trust God for salvation. You know, the man who wrote this testimony that I've been borrowing from, he says he remembers the first night when he was in the ICU after his experience. I'm reading from his testimony. His friends, the doctors, no one can believe he was still alive. It was just a complete miracle. And he laid in the bed. He was still on life support at that point. And he remembers crying because he had the realization and the knowledge that if he had stepped into the door of eternity, and the doorknob had turned, this is his words, and the door began to swing open at the last moment, Jesus put his hands on his shoulder and says, it's not quite time yet. He knew he was dying. He knew he was on the verge. But God intervened. But here's something else he wrote. And this really touched me. This is why I chose to use this man's testimony. This is the last part of it here. He says, you know what? If I had walked through the door, I would have stood before a holy and perfect righteous God, and I'd have to stand there with all of my sins. Now, before we preach the grace of this, I want you to think about this for a second. Imagine, suddenly you know you're going to die. You know you're going to stand before God. What would come to your mind? And the reason I'm putting it this way is that whatever would come to your mind in this scenario, maybe you should go home and take care of that. You see, God is a God of grace and God is a God of mercy, but He's also a God of righteousness. And if there's something... Yeah, when I think about things, every once in a while I stop and think, okay, if I was to stand before God right now, in the midst of something I'm doing at work, or something I'm doing at home, or something, if suddenly I was transported in the face of God, how would I feel? What would He feel about what I'm doing and thinking and so forth? The man began to think of all the things, all the lies, this is a preacher, all the lies he had told, all the selfishness that had consumed his life, the greed, lustful thoughts, lying, shading the truth. See, preachers don't have that problem. Oh, really? We're human. Thank you. Hallelujah. He said, how could I stand before a holy and perfect God like that? But then he thought, God couldn't let me in heaven like I am because I'm all messed up, and if I get there, heaven won't be perfect anymore. Listen, God cannot, as a holy, perfect being, have relationship with us when we're imperfect and having our own way. Can he? The man kept weeping because he knew he had met Jesus Christ. He had given his heart to God. In spite of all these things he was thinking, he knew if he stepped into eternity, God would have embraced him for all of eternity in his presence. Why would God do that? Because he would not have stood naked with all the sin and shame. He would have stood there clothed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't think sometimes we understand what salvation is all about. Salvation is not going to church on Sunday. Salvation is not reading the Bible. Salvation is not giving our tithe. All that stuff is part of what we do. That's our religion. That's obedience. But salvation is standing before God totally, totally guilty. And God looks at you and says, George, I know everything you've done. Come on in anyway. Because upon you I see the blood of Jesus Christ. See, 33 years ago when I came forward and gave my heart to Jesus, I would have had to have been rejected by God. All of my sins, all of my wrongdoing, I would have been naked, no place to hide anything. But the day I asked Jesus into my heart, He forgave me, He washed me by the blood, and made me a sacrifice worthy to stand before God. We sang a song, the group sang a song earlier, talk about bring me into the Holy of Holies. Do you know and understand that if a priest, only one person was allowed in there, by the way, one time per year, and that was the Holy Priest of Israel. He had to be cleansed. He had to be sinless. Now, this is Bible. This is not tradition. On the hem of the preacher's garment, on the hem of the man's garment, there were little bells. And there was a rope tied around a leg. I don't remember which one. I think it's right. Doesn't matter. And the reason being, when the priest went behind that veil, no one else was allowed. There was just him and God. And as long as people in the tabernacle could hear the tinkling of the bells, they knew the preacher was moving, which meant he was alive. When the bells quit ringing, they pulled out a dead priest. You see, God is so holy, we cannot stand before Him without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The thing that caught this man's attention when all this other stuff was going on, and he finally quieted down, was, thank God, I'm saved. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Jeremiah, or you can read it with me here. This is another one of those compound words. I had to look it up. It's a complicated spelling, and I could not figure it up. The word we're going to look here is spelled T-S-I-D-K-E-N-U. But it's actually pronounced Sidke. I had to look it up. I couldn't believe it. I looked it up in the Hebrew. Jeremiah, the prophet, speaks. Says, for the time is coming, saith the Lord. God's talking. I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. Anybody want to guess who that is? He will be a king who rules with wisdom. He will do what is just and right throughout the land. And this will be his name. The Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah Sidke. Hallelujah. You know, you may be here today or probably listening on the internet. But one way or another, you're listening and you've never really became a follower of Jesus Christ. Oh, you may be religious. You may go to church. But I'm talking about someone who's given their life over to Jesus. I need to be born again. I need to start over. Hallelujah. I believe that God, today and any day, but today in particular, there's an invitation going out. He wants you to come to Him. You know, you don't have to end up on your deathbed. You don't have to end up in the ICU. You don't have to have that happen. Usually when we face death or sickness is when it does happen. But wherever you are today, you can look around and say, you know what? If I was to stand before God, without Jesus, I He'd have to reject me. Hallelujah. I'd be rejected without Jesus. Glory to God. God invites us. You know what happens when we answer His invitation? We're forgiven. We stand before Him in the righteousness of Jesus. Now let me explain that real quick. You all know from your reading of the New Testament that Jesus never did anything wrong. We all know He was perfect. We all know it always amazed me. He never had anything to apologize for, never had anything to say I'm sorry about, because He never did anything wrong. I can't say that about me. But I can say that when you and I are born again, the same righteousness that was upon Jesus is now yours. So you, me, we can stand before God, and all He sees is the perfection of His Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How am I going to make it into heaven? I heard some of the stuff about this recently. I just won't go there. But how am I going to make it into heaven? Through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible goes on to tell us that the wages of sin is death. I mean, if you even just try to follow the Ten Commandments, y'all would fail. Can't do it. We are told the wages of sin is death. And you know what a wage is? When you're working, after you've worked and performed, you're paid for it. So if the wages of sin is death, it means y'all earned it. Well, it's just because of Adam and Eve. It's because of my family. It's all not my fault. No. Back up. Slam on the brakes. The wages. You know, the Holy Spirit used the right words for the right reason. When Paul writes down and says, you have earned this, the wages of sin is death. Our actions outside of Christ, our actions outside of the blood of the Lamb, has earned us a place in the eternal hell. Hallelujah to God. Whew. Jesus, back up, when God became a man, He did something for us. He went to a cross. He gave His life as a sacrifice. He bled out just so you and I could have salvation. That blood of the Lamb is the one thing that God looks at and says, enter in. The Old Testament, there was a lamb that had to be sacrificed. It had to be perfect. They called it the Paschal Lamb. He had to be perfect. Had to be bled out. And the blood was sprinkled upon the people. It's Old Testament. New Testament, they took the perfect Christ, the perfect one, hung Him on a cross and bled Him out. And His blood has been sprinkled upon all of mankind. And in that action of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I can be saved. If you don't know what the word saved means, it means saved from the judgment to come. No matter what we've done, this is not a license to sin, but because of the blood of the Lamb, we will stand before God. He will judge us as righteous and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to that which I've prepared for you. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Glory to God. See, when God became a man, Jesus died in our place. This may be hard to swallow, but what I deserved was an eternal punishment. I'd earned that. Hallelujah. I earned eternal punishment. But Jesus took that punishment. The punishment that you and I deserve, but now He offers us forgiveness because He paid the price for our sin. Hallelujah. You see, it's almost like, and I'm going to play with this just a little, it's almost like standing before a judge or a magistrate, or I remember standing before the associate principal when I was younger. I got in trouble in school. And I remember the associate principal looking at me and said, George, what have you done? Unfortunately, back in 1966, I had to tell him what I did because I had no one to walk up and say, don't worry. His name was Mr. Plouffe. Don't worry, Mr. Plouffe. I'll take care of George's problem there. No. But see, something happened to me 33 years ago. When I took all of my drug addiction and all my lying and my sexual exploits and the thieving and all the stuff, and I stood before God, I should have been condemned. But because of a decision I'd made, the blood of the Lamb protects me from the judgment. I will not be judged for all those things I did. All of my sins are now hidden by the blood of the Lamb. Not the Lamb of Moses, but the Lamb of the New Testament, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to encourage everyone in this place right now and those on the internet. I want to encourage you to receive that free gift that God provided through His Son, Jesus Christ. The free gift, I don't have to pay for it because Jesus already paid the entire price. So with our heads bowed and in a prayerful attitude, I want to say that being forgiven, I want to say that having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I want to say getting prepared for heaven is quite a simple thing. All the hard work's been done. You and I, we need to take and apply what God has already provided. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The mercies of God. The grace of God. Now, I got to throw this in. I'm reading a very eye-opening book by Martin Luther right now. And he makes a very powerful yet simple statement. So there cannot be mercy unless it leads to repentance. It says every time mercy will lead to repentance. Mercy is not just, it's okay, good boy, good girl. It's meant to change our hearts. You can have that mercy today. You can have that grace. and begin the process of letting God change you day by day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you've never done this before, you've never received Jesus, you've never become a Christian, I want you to pray with me in just a moment. Or maybe you have already done this, but you've somehow walked away. We call it backsliding. Sometimes I think it's back running. We just move away. You can come home. If you're out there listening by your computer, or you've been one of those people who push the button to send this to somebody by your computer, you can have the same gift of God yourself today with a simple prayer. Hallelujah. While your heads are bowed and you're not checking out everyone else, I'm going to count to three like I normally do. And if you'd like to be forgiven today, if you'd like to have the blood of the Lamb shed upon your life, if you want to be born again today in this church, I just want you to raise your hand when I get to three. If you're on the internet, you're hearing this, I just want you to say, that's me. One, two, three, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, three gentlemen, four gentlemen. You can put your hands down now. We're going to pray together. If you're out there and you're listening to this, whether it be in real time or whether you've heard this on the internet later on in the day or next week, I want you to join with me in prayer. I'll pray and ask you to follow after me. Father God, everyone in the church, kind of follow after me. Father God, I thank you today that you have sent your Son Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I want to accept that gift today. I want to be a Christian. I want the power of God and the blood of Jesus to save me and to change me. Everything you see that is not right, help me to change. And for that, I will continually serve you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Hallelujah. If you've done that for the first time, you're here in this service today. Talk to someone after service. The Bible says we need to receive Jesus and confess it. You need to tell somebody what you did. If you've done this over the internet, I want you to do the same thing. Feel free to write to us. Our address is on there. Get in contact with somebody. Find a local church. Go to church. Start worshiping together in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You can shut that on time. Fathers, we get ready to leave this house.